Hey, what's up? This is Pastor Bradley. We're super excited that you're joining with us today. If you're part of our Forward Church family, whether in person or online, we would love to connect with you on social media at My Forward Church, on all social media outlets, or at our website, myforwardchurch.org. I hope this word encourages you today and inspires you. Let's jump into the message.
Well, something that I was thinking about this week is that every one of us in this room are different. Look around the room. Yeah, you just kind of scope people out and say, yeah, they're just a little bit different. They're just a little bit different. Every one of us, if you look around, we're different, right? I'm for sure different, right? I'm just, that's different, okay? I'm like that. I'm different. Different viewpoints, different opinions, different tastes, different nationalities, different skin color. We're all different. And the beautiful, sound it out, Weber, and then you'll get it right. The beautiful thing about that is a perfect picture of the body of Christ. That is how it should be. We should not have a room full of people that look alike, talk alike, act alike. We should be diverse, and we all bring different things to the table. And that's what the beauty of the church is all about. But for all of the things that make us different and unique in our own way, we can build a collective list of the things that we are alike in. We like certain musics, we like different food styles and tastes and those type things. One of the things that we have in common is every one of us in this room have something that floods every week called a routine. Anybody got a routine? Your routine probably looks a lot like mine. It's work, sleep, eat, pay bills, repeat. Anybody got that? But have you ever had one of those weeks where you're like, oh my gosh, there's got to be more to this life than eating, working, sleeping, and paying bills? Anybody, can I get a witness in here? Anybody ever said there's got to be more to this? Well, congratulations, there is. You have felt some discernment there. There is more to this life. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Whatever you have going on in your life, the enemy wants to steal from you, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy that thing, that promise that God has placed in front of you. How many have a God-promised future? You have a future that God has promised to you. You're waiting on that promise. We've talked about that in just a couple series ago. A lot of times I spend the majority of my life not in the area that he promised me, and I'm not spending the area where I get the payoff of the promise. Majority of my life and yours is spent in the middle, okay? So there's more to this life. If you want more in life than working, paying bills, eating, sleeping, and repeating, if you want more than that, hook up with Jesus. Hook up with God. Because the Bible says, even though the thief and the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have that more abundantly. I don't know about you, but I need abundant. I want more joy. I need more strength in the midst of those storms. I need more of him. Well, the only way I'll get more of him is if I actually interact with him. You should already be taking notes. You want Jesus? Interact with Jesus. How many note takers in the house? Y'all know y'all can't get to heaven unless you show him your notes. I'm just kidding. Y'all are way too serious this morning. If you brought your Bibles, let's go to the book of Luke. Luke 5. When you get there, you're going to see, wow, I think Adam actually spoke from this story. I've preached from this story before, but this is just going to be the starting block. Everybody say starting block. To where we're going to be looking at today. But before we do, I want to make two statements, okay? And I want you to write these statements down. The first one is this: God has a plan for your life, okay? When you said, I want more, there is more. And instead of being like society says we need to be and just put it in my lap. No, he says, if you'll seek after me, you'll find me. If you'll seek after me, you'll find that plan, that purpose for your life. Before you and I were ever born, God had a plan for you, and there's no plan B. Listen, there is nothing that you've ever done, there's nothing that you will ever do that will remove God's plan and purpose for your life. That should encourage somebody in this house, as I know it has encouraged my life to be reminded of that. There is nothing that you have done that has destroyed God's plan for your life. Romans 11:29 says this. I don't believe it's going to be on the screen. It may be, but just in case it's not, here it is. For God's gifts and his calling are irrevocable. That means that plan and purpose for your life. Can you just put your hand on yourself and just say, he has a plan for me? He has purpose for me. You need to remind yourself of that when you're in the middle of a week and you're going, God, is there more to my life than this? Is there more than just raising kids and trying to work through marriage and trying to serve and trying to, is there more? And you say, yes, there is a plan and a purpose for my life. And it can't be taken away. The second thing I just want to deposit on top of you right here in this moment is this. You are a candidate to receive God's best. You're a candidate. I'm a candidate to receive God's perfect plan, his perfect will, and the perfection of God. If that, we're talking about his blessings. We're talking about his favor. Listen, it doesn't matter what you've done. You're a candidate. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a candidate. You're a candidate. You're still a candidate. You're still a candidate. Some of you go, but you don't know what I did last night. I'm showed up today to tell somebody who might have been behind those closed doors doing God knows what. He knows. I don't need to know. That's between you and him. But you need to know that you're still a candidate. You're still a candidate. Still a candidate. So we know that God has a plan. We know that everybody has a plan assigned to them. But where I want to land today is this. How do I walk out? How do I walk out that plan? How do I walk out that plan? I want to speak to you guys from this thought for just a few moments this morning. It's all about the follow. It's all about the follow. I was kind of working this out the other day at the breakfast table, and I was just sharing with Amy what I was going to be preaching on, and I said, it is all about the follow. You ever notice that the thing that God places for us to go after is the very thing that the enemy tries to manipulate, convert, twist, pervert? In other words, the enemy is the competition for the thing that God wants from us. He wants more than anything for us to follow him. So what's the enemy do? Anybody got Facebook? Do you follow me? Got Instagram? Do you follow me? Got Twitter? Do you follow me? Hey, you need to follow me. If you follow me, I'll follow you. You see where I'm going with this? There is an opposition to the very thing that God is, that he is speaking right to your spirit today, and that is, will you follow me in spite of the storm? Will you follow me? If you'll just follow Jesus, everything in your life will just work out like it needs to. Again, it's like a broken record. That does not mean that you won't go through tough times. That just means that you have a different perspective and that God will walk through those days with you. When you're following everything else, those other people who like you back and follow you back, they're not showing up for you when all hell breaks loose in your home. They're not showing up for you when everything's getting topsy-turvy and crazy, but Jesus will show up in the midst of your storm. It's all about the follow. Today we're going to look at this guy by the name of Simon. So funny, because Adam was just talking about him. Somebody said, no, he was talking about Peter. No, he was talking about Simon. See, Simon was kind of like a rapper. See, Simon was at one time Simon, but then he changed, his name got changed. It's kind of like, him, but I was actually thinking the artist formerly known as Sean, he's now Diddy. Okay, that was too much for y'all in church. I know. He changed his name. I forgot, religious crowd. I got to change that. I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and go to Luke before I get in trouble. Here we go. Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, says this. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them there and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon. Everybody say Simon. Simon. Its owner to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down. And this time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in from the other boats, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized that what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." Remember what I said? He was still a candidate. Some of you just said, when I said you're a candidate, you said, "Yeah, but I've sinned." You're still a candidate. You might even be sitting here today going, "But what I'm going to do later today, that's going to be what God would consider sin. It won't glorify God." You're still a candidate. God has a plan for your life. He's already marked out all of your days. He already knows what you and I have already done, and he knows what we're going to do that's not pleasing to him. He's already marked all that out, and he still showed up today and said, "You're a candidate. I love you. I forgive you. My grace will cover. Will you follow me?" "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish that he had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. I want to give you a little context here this morning, and I told you we weren't going to stay on this story, okay? There's so much packed into that story, but I want to go somewhere with you. Are you ready to go? Here we go. Simon had already had an interaction with Jesus before this moment. See, he already knew when he showed up and saw Simon and he stepped in the boat, he already knew who Simon was. Well, let's take a look at what that was. So there was a time in scriptures actually found in John 1 where Simon's brother, everybody say Simon's brother. Simon had a brother named Andrew. Andrew was the one that was present when John the Baptist was baptizing people and Jesus came walking up and John the Baptist said, "This is the Lamb of God, the guy that I've been talking about all this time. He is here. It's him." John the Baptist gets so freaked out and so just crazy because he's like, everything I've been saying is about this man. Andrew's like, "Oh my gosh, you're talking about that guy? This guy?" Andrew's so freaked out, he runs home and he gets Simon. Brings Simon back to that place. And Jesus looks at Simon and says, "You're called Simon, but now you'll be called Cephas, otherwise known as Peter." Anybody got family members who always give you a nickname? Robin's family up in North Carolina, they have, of course, dad's I think is DW. One of the other cousins, I think his name's Meathead. One of the girls, I think her name's Peanut. I mean, who comes up with these names? I mean, were you hungry or what? I mean, what's going on? Meathead, you like meatloaf? I'm not talking about what you eat. I'm talking about the singer Meatloaf. And some of y'all are like, "Oh my gosh, we're talking about this in church?" Absolutely, absolutely. Jesus was the same way. I mean, after all, he is God, right? So he can give me any nickname he wants to give me. And so he did. I'm kind of glad that they actually went by, it translated to Peter, that Cephas. I don't know, that one's just weird for me. Cephas. That sounds like something you get after coronavirus. I don't know, Cephas, I don't know. Cephas. So what I want you to understand, the reason that I painted that previous story, is kind of like the TV show This Is Us. They fast forward back and forth. That's why I stopped watching it, because I'm like, what's going on? Same thing. The reason that I wanted you to see that was, though, even as powerful as the interaction was, where Andrew brought Simon there and said, "This is Jesus," and Jesus said, "Hey, I know they call you this, but I'm going to call you that." Even though there was a power, what happened there? What happened in that moment? There was a power that was exchanged. There was something prophetic that happened. Jesus saw potential, just like he sees potential in you. The reason he wooed you and drew you into this place today is because there is potential for you. The reason that he can look at you confidently, and the reason that I can look at you confidently and say that you are a candidate, is because the Almighty God sees potential in you. See, everybody else looks at what's going on the outside, but Jesus looks at the heart. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't look at all my mess ups, but he looks at my heart and says, "You have a heart that is turned towards me. Therefore, you're a candidate, and the calling of God on your life cannot be revoked or changed." And the same is true for you today. Come on, somebody give Jesus Christ a praise offering in this place. That's not just build some hype. Sometimes you need to build yourself up, and you pull up to the light, and you go, "Father, I just thank you that even though I just cussed my boss out, I thank you I'm still going to have a job in Jesus' name." Somebody say, how'd you know? I'm just telling you. I know. Jesus knows these things. But he still calls you a candidate. Sometimes you just need to say, I thank you, Father, that there is potential in me. It doesn't matter what everybody else is saying. It don't matter what your family says. It don't matter what anybody says. There is potential in you. Drown out the noise and say, there is potential in me. God has a hope and a future and a plan for me. It's not to harm me. It's to give me abundantly more than I could ever ask or think. I just threw all kinds of scriptures in there together. Sometimes when it's all in there, it just comes out. And that's what it needs to do. That's what it needs to do. Father, let your word come out of us in Jesus' name. Somebody say it's all about the follow. God's ultimate plan for you and I is that we would be convinced that Jesus is better than anything we have. See, what happened in that second moment when they were fishing and they came back and their nets began to break, Simon was like, man, I don't really know exactly who this guy is, but one thing I do understand is that whatever he's bringing to the table is far more supersedes any of this fish, any of this money, any of this business. All he said was, this stuff is nothing compared to this dude who just showed up and said, even though we've been fishing all night long, this is what I did, this is what he said, and this is what happened. Therefore, all this is gone, and I'm going to follow Jesus. And all he's saying to you and I today is, in spite of whatever you're going through, and you can say, hey, you know what? My bank account's good. It's all good. I got this. My family's great. God is saying, will you just say, that is nothing compared to who I am and who I want to be in your life. All he's saying is, will you simply follow me? Will you say, I am convinced that he has more for me than anything I could do on my own? Turn to your neighbor, tell him, say, it's about to follow. It's about to follow. The cool thing about God is he didn't just throw us down here on this earth and say, hey, y'all figure this thing out. I got a plan. Seek me. No, the other part of who he is, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is that he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us and to guide us. Another way that he gets us from where we are to where he wants us to be is through vehicles. Everybody say vehicles. There's one vehicle in particular that I want to put a spotlight on today, and it's this, that we have faith. It's the vehicle of faith, by the way, and then I'm going to give you the point. It's the vehicle of faith. We have faith over fear. I just mentioned coronavirus. We live in a society where we're fear-plagued. I'm not saying that it's not happening. I'm not saying that it's not real. All I'm saying is, if that's what was supposed to happen in my life, then it's just going to happen. I've just got to a place in my life at 44 years of age that whatever is supposed to happen, God, I'm not questioning it. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm surrendering to you. God, I will follow you regardless. And whatever happens, just happens. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing you can do to change. There's no amount of worry. There's no 2020. Let's talk about coronavirus. There's not anything that we can put a spotlight on that he's not in control of. I'm still going to live my life. I'm still going to go on vacation because I have faith over fear. My faith in Jesus is greater than the fear that man is trying to put on us. I don't know if it's a conspiracy. All I know is Jesus is not a conspiracy, and he's greater than anything that the world or the enemy could throw at us. I'm not going to fear. I'm not fear. There's no fear. Fear is the atmosphere that the enemy most freely dances and plays around in. Somebody say, what you talking about? If you got fear going on, you just built an arena for the enemy to come in and just all over the place, all in your life. I'm just nervous. I'm just so scared. Don't be scared. Have faith. Let your faith be bigger than your fear. Okay, so let's talk about this vehicle of faith. As followers of Jesus, we have faith over fear. We live in a time where culture and society magnify fear. We're crazy. We watched it last night, 2020, on Corona. I just went to sleep. It's not going to change how I'm going to live. I'm going to do, if they say I need to do more of this, whatever, I'm going to do more of that. But I'm going to do more of this. I'm going to do more. I trust you. I'm going to do more. I'm following you. God, I know you got me. You got my family. You got this ministry. You got this city. Father, I thank you for your protection. I thank you, your angels encamped around about my home. Father, I thank you for protecting me. My faith will be greater. People get crippled by fear. When we become a Christian, essentially what we're saying is, I'm going to live my whole life by faith. Everything I do, by faith. Listen, we've raised 3 girls. 2 are already out of the house. We got 1 more left. We had leadership last night, speaking of babies and those type things. I looked at Amy when the room got silent. The house, we had the leaders. I said, hey, you think it's a good idea to tell them now? They were like, just kidding. No baby on the way. We're good. We were in the process of raising the third one. You know how we did it? By faith. Girls. By faith. Moving right along. We made the decision to move to Chiefland by faith. I'm building my life by faith. I'm leading a ministry and a church by faith. What is faith? Faith is 3 things. Write this down. Faith is 3 things. Faith is trust, faith is confidence, and faith is belief. I trust in Jesus, I have confidence in Jesus, and I believe in Jesus. That's faith. Nowhere in there does it say, I trust Jesus, but I'm concerned about coronavirus. No, I trust Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and I have confidence in Jesus. I'm going to follow after Jesus regardless, and you should be saying the same thing. You should walk out of here today and go, it's all about the follow. I'm not following anything else, I'm following Jesus. And if I need to turn this off until my focus gets right, there is no more of that until I can see everything I need to see of this, and then he'll give me the strength to be a part of this. Stop trying to play in this thinking, because what you're doing is you're going... The enemy's always going to try to do it bigger. He's always in competition of what God wants for you. And he's always going to show you maybe an easier way to get to the place that he knows about the calls on your life. He knows you're a candidate. He knows that you're qualified. He knows that. The enemy knows that. So he's trying to give you an easier way to get there. But let me tell you, that way you may get there quicker, but you're going to get there with a lot of baggage with you that God never intended for you to carry. I've tried to do too much stuff on my own, and I carried way too much baggage. Carried it. I know y'all like, yep, you different. You real different. No, y'all carry baggage. Some of y'all walked in here with your bags today. So faith is 3 things: trust, confidence, and belief. Don't live your life paralyzed by fear. Everything that we do by faith. Let me give you 3 scriptures to back that up, and then we're going to get ready to go to the close of the message. Hebrews 11:6 says this, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Following Jesus requires faith. What pleases God the most is when I believe that he is God and he can do everything that he said he can do. I don't question it. There are sometimes I go, I don't really know what you're doing, but I trust you. I know what you're calling us to. I don't know how we're going to get there, but I trust you. It's easy to listen to everybody else. Well, I think you should do it this way to get that, to make that happen faster. That's, remember what I said? Oh, B, if you'll just do this, it'll come about a lot quicker. No, I don't want your way. I want his way. Matthew 29 says this. Then he touched their eyes. This is after Jesus healed two guys that were blind. Then he touched their eyes and said, because of what? Because of your faith, it will happen. See, fear could have came in and made them believe, dude, who is this guy? Who's this guy? He just touches me and I'm going to be, no. He said, I believe. And he said, your faith, because of your faith, it will happen. And they were healed. Last verse, Habakkuk 2:4. But then the just or righteous shall live by faith. It is a requirement of us that we live every day of our life by faith. Listen, there's some things in the days ahead that God is going to require of you to step out outside of your comfort zone. Can I say that again? There's going to be some moments in your future on the way to your promise that God is going to require you to step out in faith. There's going to be times where he's going to say, will you trust trust me with your finances? Will you trust me with your life? Will you trust me that I'm going to work out all the schedule, just serve a little bit at the church? I'll work all this out. Somebody said, you're just trying to put that in there because that's convenient for you in the ministry. No, no, no. I'm saying it's a requirement that God is saying, will you trust me with every area of your life? I think there's some hungry people in here today, and I'm not talking about your stomach growling. I'm talking about there's some hungry people in here. Somebody said, you had to bring that up? I've been trying to tell it. Shh. There's some hungry people in here. There's some desperate people in here. You're believing God for change. Change is on the way. Something's happening. Something's shifting. All throughout our life, we don't walk by what we see. We don't walk by what we hear. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. I can't be moved by my circumstances. Listen, faith people are different. Faith people look different. Talk. You ever seen people? Y'all, I remember I told you, look around the church. Some of y'all are like, yep. For sure, different. They talk different. You should talk different than the people at your job. You shouldn't be having the same lingo, the same verbiage shooting out your mouth. We should look different than the world. The Bible says we're peculiar people. And what that means is, man, they got the same issues and problems I got. Their marriage is... Ansley knows. She lives with me. She lives with me and Mom. That's how that works out. She knows Dad's crazy sometimes. He'll come in from a Wednesday night and just be like, even after God just showed up in the house. But peculiar means I recognize they got issues just like I got issues. But they still following. That's because I made a decision that no matter what's happening in my life, I'm still going to follow. And you need to do the same. See, we count ourselves out because I did this and I did that. I messed up. I feel broke. I just don't feel like I belong in church. No, you are a candidate to be here. I don't walk up in the hospital looking for a bunch of whole people. I look for people who are jacked up, got a little something, need a little something. So we want people to come in here jacked up and need a little something. And that little something is Jesus. And bless God, they're coming. I'm telling you. They're coming. It's the vehicle of faith. Let me just keep, I want to give you just a couple other things, a vehicle. God uses generosity. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:24 that the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Listen, God uses the vehicle of generosity to get your world larger. The reason some of you go, man, my world's so small and all I've got is this. Well, how's your generosity? I'm not talking about giving. I'm in all kinds of areas. Don't get so focused on one area and go, them preachers all alike. God uses the vehicle of excellence. Listen, if there's not one thing that we try to do here at this little church we call Forward, is that everything we do, we want it to be excellent. Whether it's handing out eggs, greeting you at the door, blowing off the sidewalk before church, whatever it is. Because what the Bible says, and you can look up the story of Daniel, is that when I have a spirit of excellence, God won't just put me before ordinary men. He'll actually put me before kings. He'll actually put me before bigger things. God wants our world to be big. Not the world we live in called the sphere of earth, but the world where we're around. He wants to enlarge our territory. And I just feel like that's happening. And he wants to position all of us, get us in alignment, get us into a position where that is happening in all of our lives. Amen? He uses the vehicle of faith. I'm going to give you three times in your life, and then we're done. Three times in your life that you will have to choose to follow Jesus. The first one is this. It's what I call the all-in follow. The all-in follow. You're going to reach some point in your life like Simon where you come back to the shore of your life and you go, I recognize that all this fish I got and I can make all this money. There's going to come a point in your life where you have to say, you know what? All this is great, but I choose to follow Jesus. What he has for me is much better than anything I could ever do. It's called the all-in follow. The second one is this. It's the trust, I trust you follow. The trust you follow. You know the story when Peter, the other story later on where Peter was a follower of Jesus. He now is Peter because there was a time where Jesus showed up and said it again. They call you Simon, but today you are Peter. And upon this rock, rock of what? Rock means the revelation knowledge of who Jesus was. And that's when he became Peter. And then Peter's following Jesus with the rest of the disciples. Jesus is ministering off the shores, and Jesus sends the disciples on across the water. And he says, I'll catch up with you guys. And you know the story. The disciples are out there. The storm comes up. This is where Wet Worshipper came from. The storm comes up. And Jesus comes walking on the water. Would have passed them by. And Peter said, they were thinking it was a ghost. Even though they've been hanging out with Jesus. They know what he looks like. Know what he smells like. Know what his breath is. But because of the storm, they got disoriented and confused. This could be a ghost. And Peter said, no. That's Jesus. Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come out there. He didn't just say, hey, if it's you, Jesus, say hi. No, he said, if it's you, bid me to come out there. It's going to take some of us recognizing that Jesus is out. He's all the way at the end of our life, and he's marked out all of our days, and he's saying, will you trust me to get you there, even though you cannot? I wish I could, but I can't. Even though you can't feel. It's the trust factor. Y'all remember that trust game? Y'all remember that game, Trust, where your teammates line up? Tony, stand right here for a second. We didn't talk about this, work this out, but I just see this, so God, please let this work. So, y'all remember?
Which way you following?
Well, at least you know what I'm going to do, just like this. Y'all remember that, where your teammates are down there, and they got on both sides? I don't need you to dump me that way, so you probably want to catch me, you know, like the old Pentecostal way, okay? You know when they catch?
I got you.
Okay. Y'all remember when you go, I trust you, say, do you trust me? Woo! I do. Here we go. Hey! Yeah, see, that's what God wants you to do. Will you just fall in? I didn't mean to mess the shoes up. Will you just fall into my arms? Will you trust me with your life? Will you trust me with your marriage? Will you trust me with your family? Will you trust me with your business? Will you trust me? It's all in, follow. And then when things get crazy and God's asking you to step out, and then he says, will you trust me? I want to live my whole life. I'm all in. I'm in. I'm all in. That's already settled. But then there's the place where you and I are. Things get crazy. But do you trust me? It's the trust. Follow. The last one, and you may be here in closing, is the I still will follow. I still will follow. That's when your world falls apart. That's when you say, God, I'm broken. I feel so unworthy. I feel so ashamed. People are mad at me. People don't like me. I failed people. But I'll still follow you. There's some people in this room today. You're at a place where you feel like you're unworthy, even though the pastor said you're a candidate and there's potential. There's still that small voice that we must silence today that's saying, but you failed people. I'm broken. I'm ashamed. He's looking to say, not true. He's looking to say, not true. He's saying it's not true. And what he wants to know is, will you say, I'll still follow you anyway? If I would have given up on myself when everybody else gave up on me, and I gave them the right to give up on me, you wouldn't see me today. You might not even find me on planet Earth. But a long time ago, I said, I'm all in. My heart was, but my actions were all over the place. But see, when I became a Christian, God gave me the Holy Spirit. And even though I was walking in places that I didn't need to be, and I was sitting and hanging out with people that I had no business hanging out with, there was something inside of me called the Holy Spirit that was convicting me and making me feel uncomfortable. Bible says there'll be pleasure in sin for a season. I'm just here to tell you, I didn't even get the pleasure of it. I felt so uncomfortable because inside of me there was a call, but yet I was like, well, you know what? I've already messed up, so surely he can't use me now. I've even had family silently discredit me because of my failures. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one in this room. So, my last question to you is this. What could you do today that would change your tomorrow? What could you do today that would change your tomorrow? Is it, God, I'm all in? Is it, I'll still follow you? Is it, I'll trust you in spite of? Will that change your tomorrow? When we go on trips, we know what we're going to do when we get there. So we spend 24 to 48 hours packing the day before for what's going to happen when we get there. What are you willing to do today that will prepare you for your tomorrow? Every single day we should wake up and go, I'm all in, I trust you, and I'm, regardless of what happens, I'm still gonna follow you every day. I'm all in, I trust you, and I'll still follow on Tuesday. I'm all in, I trust you, I'll still follow Wednesday. Every single day should be that. I'm all in. I trust you. I still follow you. Everybody's standing all over this room this morning.
Well, thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. For more content from Forward or just to connect with us, go to myforwardchurch.org. We love you. The best is yet to come.